You're listening to the BBS Radio Network, and this is Between Two Worlds with Derek White Sky Cloud, healer, author, shaman, paranormal investigator. Stay tuned. Up next is Between Two Worlds with Derek White Sky Cloud.
Welcome, everybody. This is Derek White, Sky Cloud, and you're listening to and watching me on bbsradio.com. You're actually watching Between Two Worlds Radio. I'm a psychic medium and a paranormal investigator and a controversial artist. Yeah, I'm a controversial artist. I do everything. I get myself in trouble by a lot of through a lot of people. What can I say? It's actually been a very exciting week. There has been so many new things happening. I'm just absolutely excited about. Before I get started, I'd also like to welcome everyone in the Pal Talk chat room as well as the BBS Radio chat room. Those of you who actually want to get a reading, folks, I'm going to do mediumship tonight. And when I'm doing mediumship, you need to call in the toll-free numbers. So I need to let you know this ahead of time. Toll-frees. And these toll-free numbers are, those who are in the U.S., is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Those in Canada is 888-815-9756. It's 888-815-9756. International callers is 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. Call in, folks. You want to ask a question? I'm not going to do readings on the Pal Talk chat room. I'd rather get you to call me in. That's why you're going to hear me on the show, and it's worth your while to call in the phone lines. If anybody actually wants to call in, even ask questions of anything, or talk about a subject that I like talking about, I'll talk about it. I get myself in trouble. We've had some really great things happening lately. I want to apologize to Brenda J. I mean, last week I didn't get a chance to do the advertising verbally with my mouth, but I have actually advertised on my show. I do have a little overlay on my screen, so I keep on advertising as much as I can, but the show was really busy last week. It was absolutely fabulous. I was having a great time with that. I think we've got a caller calling in. Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
This is Michelle from Nebraska.
Hi, Michelle from Nebraska. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
I have a question for you. My son went in for a hearing test, and they found fluid behind his ears. He's taken antihistamine and an antibiotic for it.
Yep.
I didn't know if you could see, is that going to work out for him, or is he going to have tubes?
I got a funny feeling that you might have to do is, you ever heard of eclectic oil?
Mm-mm.
Now, are you talking about the issue in his ear or behind his ear?
It's behind his eardrum. I guess he can't see it. Like, when a regular doctor looks in his ear, he can't see it, but they did a pressure test.
Yeah.
And there's a fluid buildup so that his eardrum doesn't vibrate. And they need to get that to drain.
It sounds. Did he do a lot of swimming?
Yeah, we did this summer.
Okay, it must have started somewhere when he was swimming.
That makes sense, because that's kind of when his language stopped.
I used to be a diver. I was a high diver. And I used to get fluid buildup near the eardrum, and the only way I had to keep on doing is I had to keep on dropping my head sideways like this. On the side, if you go to bbsradio.com, our show, and you can actually see me on the screen, you can actually see me bounce my head sideways. That is somehow you're trying to get the fluid to come outwards. Most people don't realize that, but a lot of swimmers actually had that problem. When I was diving about 25 feet straight down in the White Rock Ocean, we were diving for starfish. And
wow.
One particular starfish we're diving for, and I went deeper than most people, and I got to the bottom. When I grabbed that starfish, came to the surface, I was perfectly fine. But when I got to on the land, and I reached over to put my shoes on, all the water came out from inside my nasal passages and poured right out.
Oh, wow.
So that because of the pressure, we dive deep enough, and your son probably's done the same thing. He's diving deep enough that his ears are affected by it. I recommend that if he does any more swimming, is to wear earplugs.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
You can get special earplugs for yourself when you're diving in the water. But as far as his ears concerned, I don't really see surgery. But I got a funny feeling that what he needs to do is just to keep an eye on it. And most likely, he may have had done is actually got a small infection in there because maybe the water may not be that clean.
Oh, okay.
So I would check it out. I don't see really surgery on it. I just more like saying, you ever heard of eclectic oil? It sounds like the word electric, but it's called eclectic oil. It's a special oil that's used. You put a little, you heat it up a little tiny bit, not too hot, and you put a little bit of that in the ear with a cotton batten, and you leave it in the ear overnight, and you take it out in the morning, and you'll notice that it draws the poison out.
Okay.
My mom did that to me when I was young, and when I had hearing problems, and it worked. It's amazing what parents can do. They just take a little bit of the eclectic oil on the teaspoon, and it's a natural oil. It's a special oil we use, and
okay.
She put it on the burner of the stove, just enough to get it warm, and then she put it in your ear, and they put the cotton batten inside. Leave that for a good at least overnight. And by morning, you could take it out and ask and see how it feels.
Okay.
Okay? If it doesn't get any better, then probably he may have done some damage from it. I don't really think he's done that much damage. I think just basically it may have got a small infection.
Okay. All right.
Okay?
Then I have another question that I've been meaning to ask every time I call in, but I've just been, I don't know, kind of reluctant to. We had to go through fertility treatments to have our kids, and we've been discussing possibly having one more.
Okay.
Do you see that happening, or should we just be happy with what we have?
I've got someone here.
Don't think I can go through the emotional roller coaster of starting all over again.
I want to say, I get it. Wait, before you go any further, somebody's reluctant to go. Who is it, you?
Well, we are going to check with the doctor because I'm diabetic. And the first pregnancy, I had twins, and they were born 2 months premature because of preeclampsia. So we plan on, before going ahead with this, right now I'm feeling a little reluctant because we have to go to the doctor and get the okay from, from my diabetes doctor.
This is going to knock the heck out of you. That's why you will become reluctant. I recommend that you, if you're going to carry another child, make sure you check your diabetes very carefully. Make sure you have enough energy, that you take enough herbs, not prescribed drugs, but herbs to keep your energy up and able to carry the baby well.
Okay.
Okay? If the doctor prescribes you, don't even think about having children because you will not be happy with that. It'll knock the heck right out of you.
Okay.
You're best off to do if you can go alternative health, alternative
mm-hmm.
medicines, you'll feel a whole lot better.
Okay.
A little more.
In my pregnancy, besides the preeclampsia, my first one, my diabetes was like that of a normal person. It was, I'm on insulin. I've been diabetic since 13. I didn't have any issues with it at all, luckily, because, if I would have had issues, then who knows what would have happened to the kids. But I'm just kind of worried with our fertility issues that if we do get the okay, that we're going to be on the same kind of...
Well, diabetes can be controlled, and it's not a disease. It's actually, it's because your immune system is unable to process the sugars. It's based on the glucose, that there's too much glucose in your system. What you need to do is basically learn how to balance yourself. Now, you're in Nebraska. I've got a phone number for you.
Okay.
And this lady here is in Canada here, but have a chat with her. Her name is Joanne Giroux. I've had her on my show many times. She works as an alternative health practitioner. She works with traditional medicines. and tell her your symptoms of what you've dealt with, and she can give you some ideas what you need to do for yourself regarding your diabetes. Because basically what you're looking for is all to do with alternative health so you can actually get stronger and not having to battle diabetes forever and ever. Okay?
Okay.
Are you on insulin or just doing the pills?
I have juvenile type 1, so I've been on insulin since I was 13.
Okay. I still recommend to get a hold of her name is Joanne. The phone number is, so you got a pen with you?
Yep.
Okay. It's 604-942-4031. That's 604-942-4031.
Okay. Got it.
Okay. I recommend her, get a hold of her. Tell her I sent you.
And would she be able to help me? Like, if we would get me healthy enough to do this again, my husband was the one having the fertility issues. Would she be able to probably help us with that, too?
Talk to Joanne about the fertility issues as well.
Okay.
Okay? You'd be surprised. The reason why your husband is having fertility issues, because he goes into depression too quickly.
Okay.
And then it's not the words like, not another baby. It's just that he gets himself already worked up over many things. He gets stressed out. When stress becomes an issue with you, your fertility is not all that great.
Okay.
It can knock the heck out of you sometimes.
I can see that with him.
Yeah.
So, okay.
He's your best guy to work with. You just have to, like I said, try alternative. There's actually a herb called horny goat.
Okay.
Okay. If you want to build a fertility, try that.
Okay, we'll do that.
The herb is called horny goat, trust me.
That's awesome, okay.
And it's not made from horny goat either. But it works. Okay.
Okay, well, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you answering my questions.
Okay, take care.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Yeah, that's so funny. Never thought about this. We have, I'm going to talk about British Columbia here. I live in British Columbia. And they're talking about, this is our premier of British Columbia is actually Gordon Campbell. And he talks about the message, BC Climate Action Tax Credit. Talks about tackling the challenge of climate change is a responsibility we all share to encourage carbon smart choices. British Columbia has introduced the revenue neutral carbon tax, which puts a price on pollution while putting money back in your pocket. Every penny collected is being returned directly to taxpayers through the tax reductions and credits for low-income British Columbians. Individuals earning less than $30,000 and families earning less than $35,000 per year are receiving the low-income climate action tax credit of $100 per adult and $30 per child. The credit is paid out quarterly with your GST refund and is included with your payment if applicable. The bottom two income tax bracket rates that have been reduced by 2% this year and a total of 5% in 2009, combined with previous reductions, most British Columbians have seen this provincial income tax decrease at least 37% since the 2001. Many low-income British Columbians have seen their income tax reduced by 70% or more. Earlier this year, every man, woman, and child in BC received a $100 climate action dividend. These tax reductions and credits mean most people will be better off as a result of carbon tax. For example, a senior couple with $30,000 combined pension, one vehicle, and an oil furnace took them out $263 ahead this year. For further information, Carbon Tax BC. Now, does this include people without cars? Does this include homeless persons, folks? $100 each, or do you have to have a fixed address? Think about it. I've got a caller calling in. Hello? Hello,
I'm
caller?
Winnipeg.
Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. Who am I talking to? Who is my teacher?
Joanne from Winnipeg.
Oh, hi.
Hi. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I've had a vision. It was tonight, about like what I saw was myself standing in a big room. My spirit wolf was on top, right above me, and my spirit bear was turned away from me. Now, I know this is the season for hibernation for the bear, and I have been, what's been happening with me is I've been craving fish and berries, like fruit. So I know that my bear was going into hibernation for a while. What I saw tonight was I just wanted to know if I saw tonight that something is something going to be happening soon.
Hey, you think it is a negative or a positive?
No, a positive. Positive.
Well, let's put it this way. Like you said, the bear is turned away, and that means that the bear is actually hibernating. Yes, the wolf is there, and it's because you're talking about the teaching, the training. There's more teachers involved. That means you've got someone coming in your path that will want to work with you, or you want to work with them. I'm also seeing drums being played.
Okay.
So if you haven't been playing drums for a while, I'd recommend to learn some songs.
Okay. The songs haven't been coming.
Learn a wolf song.
Wolf song?
Learn a wolf song, yeah.
Because somebody is coming in my path in November, and we're supposed to be getting together. So
okay,
maybe this is it. Now, the reason why I ask is because seeing something happening is because this Thursday I'm going on a ghost tour.
Ooh. Betty, mm-hmm. Sketty.
No, I don't think so.
Which place are you going to?
We're going to be going to a lot of places. The old jail, cemetery, the old the CNR station.
Yeah.
And other there's some, I think, Hotel Fort Garry, too.
If you go to Fort Garry, that'd be really good. Do it, say, around from 11 o'clock at night to about 6, 7 in the morning.
Well, I wish I could.
A lot of paranormal activity coming around say, it really gets stronger between 2 and 5 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Most paranormal activity is really strong between that time.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere before that, it's just building up the energy.
Yeah, that's what I'm, I'm going with Gabby, and we're taking our cameras and lots of batteries. And a digital recorder.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Do EVPs. Good.
Mm-hmm.
If you got a chance, try and see if you can use video as well, not just the video. So if you've got a camera that does video. Well, some cameras,
I don't know.
You can get these digital videos. They can do that, too.
Pardon me?
Yeah, there are cameras available that actually does digital video.
Yeah.
The new ones that are out now, yeah. I've got one that I use, and I use the chip that goes inside the film. I use a tube, which is a much larger file, so you can do it. You can spend at least an hour's worth of video and not having to worry about burning out batteries, but take plenty of batteries and lots of batteries for flashlights.
Yeah, that's what I'm, I got to take a flashlight,
and
too.
And transform. And you got to dress warm because... And you know very well yourself, it gets really cold at night, and it gets chilly around you, too, so be aware of that. But never freak yourself out if you can. Just watch with positive and prayer before you start, before you walk in, prayer protection, and you should be fine. I'm going to share something with you. Like, I'm going to let everybody else know out there. I've got a friend of mine that actually lives in the U.K. She asked me if I'd be interested in coming up to the U.K. and spend 2 weeks there doing paranormal investigating. And she's also a member of the team of the Most Haunted. So,
who's that?
I can't say.
Not Yvette.
No, not Yvette.
Oh, okay.
But she works for them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to going up there and do the investigation with them. They're going to take me to some of the sites. I'm also going to go up there to go see... a relative of mine who is my ancestor, Pocahontas, who's my ancestor.
Right.
My grandfather's relative, so I'm looking forward to see her gravesite. I'm going to see if I can see if there's any paranormal activity there on near her site. If that's really where her grave is.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. And I'm going to have some fun there. And also, we are involved with the Paracon, and that was supposed to be happening for the 24th and 25th of October of this month, but it got canceled due to the economy issue with the U.S. So they they rescheduled it for February 3rd and 4th. They're doing it for President's Day. So we also had a great idea, so we're going to do this. We're going to actually bring in Frank's box.
Oh, cool!
We're going to be talking to dead presidents.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
I'll be listening.
Yeah. So we're looking forward to doing that. Also, you remember Chris Booth? I had him on my show last week.
Right. Yeah.
These are the guys that did Children of the Grave and SpookProductions.com. Well, Chris asked me if I'd be interested in coming up in their territory, do some investigations in their area. So I'm looking forward to doing that as well. They're working on a new film. I can't say what it is, but it's going to be very, very interesting and a lot of fun to do. It's something totally off the hook, but it's going to work. It'll be very, you guys will be on the edge of your seat when you're involved with this one. They're asking me to come up and do some mediumship up there.
Oh, great.
We got all these great things happening this coming year, 2009.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. If it's on air, I'll be listening.
Oh, it'll come on air eventually, yeah.
Okay, my friend. We'll talk to you later. Thank you very much.
Okay, you take care.
I'll let you know how things go.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
It's going to be a lot of fun being up in that area. I'm looking forward to go to the UK. My grandfather's from there. He actually was my grandfather was from the Dr. Bernardo's group, where these are the kids that were put in orphanages, and they were taken from the orphanages and brought to Canada. They were called the home children, which basically these children were physically, emotionally, and spiritually abused, very much like the residential schools. They were brought up there specifically to work as farm labor, and there was a story about one young boy actually was forced to live in a doghouse with the dog, and the boy was never fed food from the table, and the dog got fed first, and whatever was left from the scraps of the dog, the boy was eating. So this child, a lot of these abuses did take place, and there was well over 170,000 children that were manipulated, sent to Canada, and used as labor. My grandfather was one of them. And that's where a lot of this had taken place. I felt bad. You know, people talk about the Indian Residential School because I myself am also one of the counselors for the Indian Residential School Survivor Society, and I work with the elders, those who are dealing with their issues. And my wife was doing some research, and we found that, you know, comparatively, when someone says to you, some people used to get angry when non-Native people want to learn Aboriginal traditions. And some people get really upset about that. They think that, you know, we're trying to take something from them, or like myself, I am a half-breed, but most people that are non-Native, they're trying to take the traditions away. And it's not, because no one ever taught them what they can use, what they find safe. And most people turn to traditional ways, Aboriginal ways, Native traditions, because they find it safe, they find it very spiritual, very inspirational, very heartwarming, very heart-healing, and soul-healing. And they really strongly believe it because it belongs to the earth. And so these children, I felt bad for them when they used to use that one common word. There's actually photographs, there was actually cartoons that were drawn. They look like a big pile of children being all stacked up in a big pile on a wheelbarrow being hauled away. These are dead children being hauled away. And they call them scavengers. They call them home children. They call them garbage. So it was horrible to hear that kind of stuff and to see this kind of thing that did happen. And there are, to this day, some of the children still left trying to find their parents. They kept them away from making contact with their parents because a lot of these kids were kidnapped. There were actually kids that were actually very well off financial means by their parents. They were actually easily duped and showed them, they were telling them actually that there was gold lying in the streets in Canada if you want to go out for a small trip to, like a little camping trip to Canada, to go get some gold, go pick up some gold and bring it home to mommy and daddy. And this is what they did. They, and besides Dr. Bernardo's orphanage, there was other types of orphanages, and they used to say their doors were always open for the orphans. Well, the door, back door was open as well, and they would just scoop them out and haul them out the back and right onto ships, and they would haul them off, and you'd never see the kids ever again. So these things did happen. It was mind-blowing. And my grandfather, like I said before, my grandfather, my great-aunt, was my grandfather's sister and brother, the three of them were also the recipients of the Dr. Bernardo's horrible way they brought to Canada. So, yeah, these things happen. Now, I want to go right now. I want to go into the commercial, folks. We actually let you know that I myself use this wonderful drink called B-Hip because I've used it myself. Actually, it's fabulous in energy, and there's no caffeine in it. No caffeine whatsoever. This is really, really good stuff. And I find that it has different kinds of flavors, but these flavors are natural flavors. They're not something you actually get, you know, where they used to talk about these instant flavors, the imitations. This is a real thing. Now, the difference between the B-Hip drink and the other types of drinks, most of the drinks are actually made of caffeine, high amounts of caffeine. That's why most people get huge, high on, like, really, they go keep on feeling like they get really wired. And there have been instances where people actually have been caught up in their in the hospital because they've had too many of those Red Bulls or Monsters or Full Throttles or Rock Stars, other types of drinks like those. And, yes, they could be energy drinks, but they need to be really read carefully. Why do you think they downsize the can so small comparatively to a pop can? Because those drinks are absolutely potent. You think about it, folks, it's actually over 110 calories in Red Bull, 110 calories. You're not there to lose weight. The sugars are 27 grams. The sodium is 290 grams of sodium. That's a lot of salt. Your body doesn't require all that much. Really, it doesn't. 80 milligrams of caffeine, artificial flavors, all the way through. But with the B-Hip, it does not. B-Hip actually has guarana, which is actually, it's a natural plant. It's used for healing people, medicines. It's absolutely fabulous stuff. There's no artificial flavor in it. And if by some chance you look and talk about the sodium, that natural sodium is 10 milligrams of sodium. Milligrams, not major grams. Sugars, 2 grams, which basically, again, natural sugars. Actually, it's a natural berry flavor in there. I like it. I think it's great. It tastes good to me. And it's easy. It comes in a small little packet. You pour it into a glass container, whichever your flavor concern. And it's easy to work with. You don't have to keep stirring it up in a stick. You don't have to do that. You pour it in there, mix it with water. Drink it throughout the day. You get a lot of great energy. And if you want to make contact, you want to find out about this drink even more, please call Joanne. Please call Brenda. Her phone number is 778-554-0107. That's 778-554-0107. Or also you can contact Brenda at teaminmotion.com. Thanks. Okay. And it works. It's basically they call it the new breed of energy, and I've used it. I really strongly believe in it. Absolutely fabulous stuff. Now, those are gigs. Again, remind you folks that we do have calls. Looking forward to have calls calling in, and our phone numbers are available at the moment. And the phone numbers are, okay, remind you, they are 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Are those in the U.S.? Those are in Canada. It's 888-815-9756. It's 888-815-9756. And then also the international callers. We do get people calling in from all across the world. 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. Last week we had Chris Booth on, and I'm telling you, it was totally a phenomenal show. And with Chris Booth, when he talked about I was blown away when we were doing the interview regarding possessed. You know, they were doing the research, and they were on site where a lot of these these children. I mean, listen to the kid. Listen to this one. Kids from the ages of 12, maybe 14 years of age, up until about 20, 21, were possessed by demons, possessed by minions. Their eyes would turn jet black. They would go through, sometimes they're actually levitating from the floor or from the bed. It's totally, you know, like they were there when this all took place. It's just mind-blowing. This actually is on film. Possessed is on. It's actually going to be released. In the end of October, they're releasing it. It's going to be on the Sci-Fi Channel at the end of October. And also the end of December, they were releasing the DVD to the public. So actually, if you want to get order your own DVD of Possessed, call in and you go to the website spooktions.com. These are some of the DVDs that these guys themselves actually did do. Children of the Grave. This was actually even with the famous John Zaffis, and there was Keith Age, Rosemary Allen Guiley, Troy Taylor, Stephen Lachance. This is the Paranormal Task Force. These guys are absolutely fabulous. They spent months and months and months to do these investigations. They also got here spooked. This is actually the Ghost of Waverly Hills Sanatorium. This is one of the most haunted places. This actually was a place that actually had a lot of TB, tuberculosis. A lot of children died there, and again, a lot of unmarked graves, and there was actually called a place in that building called the Death Tunnel. They've done a lot of major investigations. I got both these videos. You got to get these videos, guys. Order them online. They're great to have. Even keep for even share with your family or people that wants to be interested in learning about paranormal investigating. The guys show you what they do. It's worth your while having to see. It'll just your mind be blown away by watching this. The next little while, now we're talking about the Paracon, and yes, that's going to be coming up in the February 3rd and 4th, I believe, and that's going to be for President's Day. Those of you who are American, we know what President's Day is. I'm an American-Canadian, but President's Day is February 3rd, I believe, and 4th. It's supposed to be a long weekend for them. So we are going to have, we're going to be actually using Frank's Box. Now, those of you who don't know what Frank's Box is, there was a box that was designed by Thomas Edison. If you know who Thomas Edison is, he designed the box, and he himself was interested in talking to the dead. And it's because his mom and dad were spiritualists, and they were involved and in it really deep for a long, long time. And so when his mom passed away, he was very close to his mom, and when his mother passed away, he wanted to find some means of ways to make contact with spirit on the other side, because he believed himself that spirit has a connection to electric things, you know, we call electricity or energy. So he designed this box, which has no connection whatsoever to a radio station. Like, you don't just can't make a radio station and make connection to a radio station. There's no elements of connection to radio. But what it is, it's a box with a wire with the certain circuits, the way it's made. It's hard to describe because I don't know much about it. But if you need to find out about Frank's Box, it's actually, you go to YouTube and write the word Frank's Box, and watch the video on it and listen to the demonstration. Watch the demonstration. You'd be surprised. You'd be blown away. This was taking place in, blank all of a sudden, guys. The box itself, what they do is you can ask questions to that person that's in the box. You know, my wife used to always joke about, or used to laugh about, she'd be mesmerized by looking at a regular radio. You remember the old radios that had the tubes inside? Those who reached my age had the tubes inside the old radios. My wife was mesmerized. She thought that there was little people inside because that little thing would flicker back and forth and was bald, eh? So she believed that. But you think about it, this particular box that's made, there's actually six of those, maybe more now made, but I witnessed this, and the box itself, when you talk to the box, talk to people in spirit in that box, you don't just hear yeses and nos. You actually hear your family's voices on the box. I was one of the people who was very fortunate to have Chris Moon, another fellow by the name of Chris, Chris Moon, who was on my show. I'm going to get Chris back to my show. I've really got to get him back here on here and interview him again. And we talked about Telephone to the Dead, and I want to make contact with my mom, my mother, and my dad, and other relatives, but it was my mother and my father. And I was blown away. I heard my mother's voice. I heard my mother's voice. I heard my father's voice. And I was totally blown away. And I have to tell you, folks, I'll stand up, I'll put my hand on any Bible and say that's true. I really strongly believe in it. Really, really strong. So these things do happen. Other things, too. We are dealing with some major changes out here in... I'm going to just change this a tiny bit. A lot of people right now are getting into the paranormal field even way more than most people. A lot of people want to experience the paranormal. I want to warn all you folks out there, be very careful where you are going. If you're fascinated by paranormal or want to investigate a site, make sure you take someone with you who's experienced. You just can't walk in there and say, here I am, because what's going to happen is that if you don't know how to handle it, you're going to scare the living hell out of yourself. Or you may conjure something up that you don't want to do. People talked about Ouija boards, where people have actually been dealt with issues with Ouija boards, and that's not a healthy thing to deal with. I'm telling you, Ouija boards are never mess with. I was one of the witnesses to Ouija board when I was a kid, and you don't want to mess with Ouija boards. Any way that you got to have experience. You got to know how to work with it. You got to make a prayer protection. And if anybody says, well, I'm going to burn my Ouija board, you can't burn it because you're opening the doors. You have to get holy water, bless it, and then bury it. You don't burn it. You bless it, and you bury it with holy water. That's the only way you're going to be able to handle it. There's different varieties of paranormal investigations that we do. Most people call me up on site, so I am the one that's there to try to help solve or resolve an issue that maybe somebody has crossed over. And a lot of times people think that it's actually from, I guess you'd say, a lot of people think that's their relatives that are visiting them in their own homes. Most of the time it is. But if the home is much older, and if that house is there before they were, guaranteed it's probably related to somebody who's also passed away, and it passed away before them, and maybe again they actually are closely connected to the house itself. Now, I've been in places recently where there's one particular home was so full of activity, absolutely full of activity. And, in fact, I want to go back there again. These are homes that, again, generation of people's lifestyles. And people have dealt with loved ones that crossed over. And also, too, when someone's passed away, those ones passed away don't really realize that they're trying to make contact through someone else. Like, say, for example, when Joanne called and she's noticing her change how come the bear is stepping back and how come the wolf is there and what her journey is, it's because the teacher's coming there and she's going to be learning more about spirit. And it's right in her face because spirit's saying, here I am, learn this now. And, pardon me. I'm talking about spirit, and I get walked right through here. You ever get this feeling that people walk right through you? You ever notice that? You walk down the street, or you're standing somewhere, and all of a sudden someone says to you, I felt like someone walked right through me. Trust me, that's true. Those are spirits. They feel that they're attached to you somehow, or they think that you're important to them. They're attracted to your light, which is the beam here and the higher soul. And we brighten up. To them, they see light. And so they come into or towards us, and they think that we're making contact with them, or they're trying to make contact with us. And all of a sudden you get this feeling like, whoa, right through you. And you go like, oh, man, I feel like someone walked right through me. If you guys ever get that feeling, I want you to call me. Let me know if you ever had that feeling ever happened to you before. Or if you've actually walked into a room as you're doing investigating or non-investigating, and you find that you actually feel kind of dizzy or get those dizzy spells or headaches, that does happen to people, too. When you get dizzy spells and headaches for doing a bad investigation or being in a place that you don't feel comfortable with, and these things do happen. Also, there, I just finished talking to some people earlier tonight, and I spoke to a hereditary chief and family, and I'm looking forward to hearing from them if you're able to call in. I'd like to talk to them about some subjects. I'm going to make it exciting for all of them because basically I'm hoping that everybody decides to do this. This could be a lot of fun to do. And I hope they can hear me. Make that call. Also, I'd like to hear from Sarah Lester. So she's from the Paracon, and for some reason, I hope we didn't lose any lines. I know I'm used to hearing phone call after phone call after phone call, so I have to find out and make sure that I didn't get lost. So can BBS hear me? That's funny. I'm making sure I wasn't forgotten. yeah, that's a lot of fun. Anyways, these things do happen. Now, we got some Halloween specials coming up, folks. We're getting close to Halloween. Oh, my God. It's going into be, what is it now? Today's the 14th. It's halfway through. We're getting to Halloween in a couple of weeks. 2 weeks. So Halloween day, Halloween evening. Are you guys, anybody going to go out there on Halloween night and you can do some ghostly work, or are you just going to celebrate Halloween and just dress up? Let me know. Call in. Ourselves, we're going to do some investigating on Halloween. I'm looking forward to doing it. I want to, what I like to do is to actually take a trip to Penn. Not a real Penn. I mean, well, it was. There actually is a penitentiary that was used to hang, executed, approximately 32 men in this prison back in the, from mid-1850s to the early 1950s, I believe, 1960s. They stopped the execution there and then they moved it to another prison. But that very same prison, this one here right now, is turned into a restaurant, and it's very haunted. I know it is because I walked in the building. But there's two parts of the building. One was for the executions, one was the administration, but the administration also still had lockups. The original building itself that had the executions, the hangings, just behind, just up this block, up the street, one floor, the fifth floor, it's not being used because everybody's afraid to walk on that fifth floor. So I think the fifth floor is where they did the executions. 32 men. But here's the story. I would say two, maybe three at the most, white men, Caucasian, were executed. I would say three or four Asian were executed. The rest of the men that were executed were First Nations, and most of them were chiefs. First Nations chiefs. And a lot of them did not even have names written on the forms. Now, how I know, because you can find it on the website, folks. You can find it on the website. Shows you in there how many men were executed. And a lot of them, if you read it, it somehow talks about defending their property, that they attack someone, or they're defending their land because of the non-native people coming in, trying to colonize the bands, the groups, and they're just fighting for what was their own rights, and they had their land taken away from them, and they fought back, and so, and the only way they can silence them is to execute them. I find that very cruel. So I shared that with a group of our First Nations brothers and sisters, and do you know that apology was never made? That there is another apology that should be taken care of as well, is those that were executed, why were they executed? If they killed someone, why were they executed? For what reason? Didn't make any sense. It did not even make any sense at all. Yes, and yes, you're defending yourself. Yes, you're killed. But here's one part of it. It showed me on the one of the islands. There's a band on the islands. Actually, they said there was apparently 5 or 6 men, First Nations men, of the West Coast, were executed. One was a chief, the rest of his own family, I believe. They were executed, and they killed 14 construction workers. What does that tell you, guys? They took the land from them, and they're building houses on there. That's cultural. That's taking the land from them, and they killed them. I'm just saying, you took our land away from us. They're just fighting back. What they do? They executed the chief and his family because they're defending their property. And these things happen. I'm not kidding you. It blows you away how history itself is tainted some, but they try to silence it by not sharing that with you. That needs to be cleared up. That needs to be cleared up. You need to clarify the realism and truth about what really did happen. It's absolutely putting me away. But I'm going to enjoy my kaffa. I don't have kaffa too often. Also, there's more, what else is there? Let's just talk about here, too. That was the, yes, right. Okay. This coming on the 19th, those of you who listen to the show, on the 19th of October, that's on a Sunday. Those of you living close by where I am, I'm living in Surrey, British Columbia. Those who are living in my territory, I'm putting on mediumship development classes on the 19th, on a Sunday between 2 and 4 p.m. And I do a 6-week course. If you want to find out about the course, please give me a call, and or you can go to my website, whiteskycloud.com. If you guys are interested in getting a reading, a full reading, like 1-hour reading, go to my website, whitescottcloud.com. I do have PayPal available, and I can help you if you need some assistance on furthering your assistance for your, with your own personal needs. Like I said before, I do mediumship development, and I'm teaching classes on that, whether anybody wants to do automatic writing or they want to learn how to progress even further their skills. And that's what I do. I teach you. Now, if you're not too sure what to do or how you can come around, what you need to do or what you need, with the class itself, all I require is a book, which you write your writing inside, and a pen, scribing all your work, and I teach you about, you know, I share with you what you go through your meditations and dreams, and you keep in this book, logbook for yourself the rest of your life, and you keep on adding more and more and more and more. When I talk about these things, I miss talking about my best friend, one of my best friends. I didn't really get a chance to talk about Tammy Bennett, the late Tammy Bennett, who was one of my good friends, my little sister, so to speak. I'm going to miss her a whole lot, not talking to her in person. Steve Griffey, his name is Steve Griffey, that's his wife. His mom, Steve's mom, was the famous Irene Griffey. She was from the UK. Both Steve and her are from the UK. And his wife was a very famous medium up in the territories, and she came to British Columbia. And Steve was here, and he met Tammy, and they hit it off. They've been together for a long, long time. And they just got married last year, and then Tammy was told that she had cancer again. Tammy was fighting breast cancer over 6 years ago. She had breast cancer, and she was clean of all cancer. And I guess the cancer clinic, whatever have you, kept bugging her and telling her she needed to do tests. and whatever happened, I can't remember. I don't know everything all about it, but I do know is that she ended up getting her cancer back again. It turned to bone cancer, and then it went through her lungs and her brain, and she was in a coma for about 4 days before she passed away. But I was floored. I was devastated because I didn't expect Spirit to take her so quickly. When she was 47 years old. 47 years old. And she was a practicing medium. She was just getting into her own work. It didn't make any sense to me why she was training. You know, Spirit tells you one thing, you're going to be a medium, trance medium, or whatever your job's going to be. And Tammy dedicatedly did her writings every day, and she did so well. And also, too, folks, she also was communicating with a spirit called Silver Birch, who is well known in the UK, who is an entity, an Indian energy entity, Native Indian energy entity, who actually was also tranced by other mediums throughout the past years. Tammy was given the opportunity to channel him. She also channeled Grey Bear, another Indian guide, Grey Eagle, and she also channeled, and this is so funny, she never met, I don't think she ever met Steve's mom. I think his mom passed away before that. But the funny part of it is, she started channeling Steve's mom. And it was absolutely amazing. And Steve knew, because Steve has been around it since he was a baby, you know, around mediumship. He's in his 60 now, late 50s, early 60. And Steve now is, I'm hoping, Steve, if you're watching this show, I'm hoping that you are, going to continue to carry on for Tammy and as well because, and your mom, because I really hope this all works out well for both of you. Also, I lost another good friend, another lady friend of mine is a medium. She passed away from cancer the same day. She died the same day as Tammy, but totally, totally different locations. You know what, guys, cancer is getting to be more of a common issue. Before, you're lucky if you ever hear the word cancer from, I would say, maybe 50 years ago. That person got cancer. Now, it's like every 6 seconds, somebody's being told they got cancer. Or somebody's gone with cancer. It's mostly you hear, it frustrates me. I don't like hearing that word. I'm not going to call it a disease because I don't feel it's a disease. Cancer is not a disease. It's how we can control it. A lot of the cancer issues are based on our stress issues, how we take our stress, you know, how we take on things in life and how we feel about ourselves. I feel really strongly feel that we can affect ourselves by how we feel. If we feel depressed, we carry the past with us, even from our childhood, we carry some really negative stuff in the past, we can develop that cancer because the cancer cell is already in you. You're born with it. But if you activate it by carrying your sadness, constant sadness, and why me, I'm in pain, that's exactly what happens. You do this to yourself. My wife was also, she's a cancer survivor. She's a cancer survivor. She lost both her breasts. She has no regrets of losing her breasts because it's all to do with the cancer itself. She wanted to live longer. I want her to live longer. And she's still here with me. She's healthy as all can be. Once in a while, she gets that call from the cancer clinic saying, "You got to come down here and see how you're doing." My wife goes, "Nope, not coming. Sorry, bye. And we don't want nothing to do with you. Bye. You're on your own, bud. Bye." So, yeah. Some people don't like to hear the word cancer. They're afraid of it. Even any kind of word. Some people are even afraid of the word M, like Mary, get married. They like the word Mary, or they sometimes are afraid of the word L, you know, love. Some people think the dirty word M is a Mary. The word Mary, get married, is a dirty word. That's so funny. You get married for the first time, it doesn't bother you. Second time, you're kind of like, I don't know. Third time, it's mostly guys. The guys that get bit, they're the ones that keep worrying they're not going to get married, or they're the ones that they don't want to get married for fear they're making the same mistake. But how can you? If a guy is going to get married, or if a guy is going to have this woman the rest of his life, and he's with her, for say, for 10 years, and he still doesn't want to marry her, and they ask him why, well, what if I make a mistake? Excuse me, guy, but you've been with this girl for 10 years already. You already had kids with her, and you're worried about that word marry? Or is it because you can just leave when you feel like it and leave the kids behind? You know what I mean? Oh, I wasn't married, so I can leave the kids behind. It makes no difference. You're registered with the government. You're common law. You're still considered married. They just don't use the word, a religious name of Mary. So it's just a church issue of registering. That's all it really is, government issue. But other than that, I always tell people, if you ever go be with someone, you just face each other and look towards the sun, and you marry each other towards the sun, because this creator is God that you're actually... you're dedicating your life with each other in front of God. It had nothing to do with anybody else. And if you want witnesses, there's a whole bunch of witnesses all there. Just call them all out. There's trees, there's rocks, there's stone, you know, there's plants and flowers. You know, those are all your witnesses. Bears, wolves, yeah, mother-in-law. So, anyways, folks, it's been a pleasure talking to you guys. Next week, we're going to have on our show, I'm hoping to get the Strauss Heartthrobs corporate company to be on the show. It's based on, we're going to end up losing some of our herbs through Bill C-51, because the government wants to take away a lot of the good herbs that we need, and it'll affect us all if we don't allow them to take away from us. The government wants to make it into a they want to take it away from us so that they can actually make you prescribe, making it as a drug. So anyways, we're working on that, and I'm going to have them on here probably about two weeks, like this coming week and the week after. We'll see what happens, because we're going to do the program next coming week regarding the Strauss people, Strauss, Strauss Heartthrobs. Look up the website. You'll understand what I'm talking about. That's who we're going to have on next week. So it's been a pleasure, folks, having a chat with you, and be safe out there. This is Derek Westcott Cloud talking to you in Between Two Worlds Radio. Be safe, love each other, do well, folks. Walk on the earth and be happy. Bye.